We have come to at least what I believe are going to be the final two messages in this series that God has been dealing with us about concerning submission and authority. And it's been just a phenomenal time. And the Lord has been dealing with us. And it is my strongest desire that we hold on to everything that God has been speaking to us about. And there needs to be something that rises up within all of us that says, you know what? I absolutely refuse to go back to the way that I was. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I believe that what we've been talking about, what God has been talking to us about these last several weeks, is one of the keys to an end-time, apostolic, world-shaking revival. Therefore, it just cannot be something that we just focus on for 3 weeks or 4 weeks and then forget about it when it's all over. But this needs to be something that we hang on to, and it needs to be something that we continue to pursue after. I believe that what we've, the more I'm getting into this, and it's like everywhere I read now in Scripture, every story I see, well, there's submission, and there's submission, and there's submission. And so I believe that what we've discussed is just kind of the tip of the iceberg as far as these lessons and this topic of submission and authority. And so it's my prayer that for me and myself and for my family and for this church that we just use this. This isn't the end today. This is just the beginning. Does that make sense? This is just the beginning. That what God has done with us these last three weeks, we haven't arrived. We haven't got everything fixed. We just got started in our journey of humility and having a submitted spirit. Does that make sense? We got to make sure we keep that in our mind, okay? That no, oh yeah, that 3 weeks I got that cleaned up and that cleaned up and that cleaned up, and so I'm submitted now. No, this is just the beginning. This is just the start. And so this God just kind of prompting us. He's saying, okay, this is the lifestyle that I want you to lead. There's a lot more stuff that I need to deal with you about that even in 3 weeks I couldn't talk to you about. So we need to make sure that we hang on to this. And I'll tell you what I prayed, and I think it would be a good prayer for all of us. I said, I got down on my knees, and I prayed, and I asked God. I said, God, I said, if after this series, I said, any time, at any moment, when I become unsubmitted in my spirit, when I have a spirit that is not humble and is not with humility and all that kind of stuff, I said, I want you to convict me. But I said, I want you to convict me severely. The word I used. I said, God, I want you to severely convict me. Because I don't want none of that stuff in my life. And I the more I'm understanding how important all this stuff is, the more I realize I need God to help me to become what he's calling me to become. And so, God, if I ever next week or next month or next year, if I ever start getting off track saying some things or acting some acts or having a spirit that isn't humble and submitted to my brothers and sisters in the Lord or to you, I said, God, I want you to convict me so severely. Whatever you have to do, just knock me upside the head so I don't do it. Somebody said amen. And I know this next statement may seem kind of bold and maybe even a little, audacious, but I truly believe that what we experience currently in this church and what we see presently in our church pales in comparison to what God wants to do. I believe that. You say, but Pastor Anthony, we have some incredible services. Yes, we do. Unbelievable services, absolutely unbelievable services. But I firmly believe that what we experience pales in comparison to what God wants to do in our lives. And the only thing that will usher us into the fullness of God's will is when we completely submit ourselves to God and one to another. I believe that we have been operating in a portion of God's will. Can I just talk to us today? I believe we've just been operating in a portion of God's will, but God has seen our heart, And God has seen our mind, and he has seen our desires to operate in a fuller dimension, in a fuller realm of his spirit. And so he's sent us this word these last few weeks in order to get us to where he desires us to be. And when we do that, I truly feel in my spirit that our services, I believe our lives, I believe our families will go to a dimension in God, the likes of which we cannot even imagine. I believe what I'm saying right now. When we get to this place that God's dealing with us about, I believe not just our church services, not just the few hours we're here, but I'm talking about your own personal life, and I'm talking about your family, I'm talking about your marriage, I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about your life. When you have a submitted attitude and a submissive spirit, I believe that opens the door for the will of God to come down and be realized in your life. Oh, hallelujah. And I believe we're going to witness that, the beginning of that in this service. Celebration service. I don't know. In fact, I was trying to figure out God, you know. God, well, what are you going to do? And I just say, you know what? I don't know, God. You might have us all on our face. You might have us jump and shout. And you might heal people. People might get the Holy Ghost. I don't know what's. I honestly don't have no clue. No clue. But I believe God is going to show up in this place. And he's going to bless us in a mighty way. But as we kind of bring this series, just the series to a close, allow me to just, I just want to remind us of a few things. Okay, just want to remind us of a few things that God has been speaking to us about so we can grab a hold of them and not forget them. One of the most important lessons, if you haven't been able to be here or whatever it is, but one of the most important lessons that God's been trying to show us is that as we journey in our walk with the Lord, it is imperative that we realize that the body of Christ are more than just our friends. People you're sitting next to right now, the body of Christ, they are more than just your friends. They are more than just those with whom we worship with a few days a week. They are more than that. They are more than that. We must remember that we're all specific parts of the body. We're all specific individual parts, but we make up the one body of Christ. And therefore, without the rest of the church, we are absolutely nothing. Somebody say, I'm nothing without you. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I'm nothing without you. Now, we say that, but what God's trying to get us to understand, he's trying to get us to the place where we mean it. It's one thing to say it, it's another thing to mean it. It's possible for individuals who are just one part, it's impossible for individuals who are just one part to be the entire body. Just like the hand is not the body and like the foot is not the body. We need to get this revelation that what others do is taken as the doing of the entire body. Therefore, it was the body that did it and not the individual that did it. That makes sense? Because we're all apart. For instance, let me just bring it on home here. For instance, when I preach, and I'm standing up here and I'm speaking and I'm teaching, I'm talking, it's not just me doing it. It's the totality of the body. Now, you're all sitting here looking at me, well, most of you. That was a joke. But it's the totality of the body at work with me in accomplishing what is good for the entirety of the body. For who would I be preaching to if you didn't show up? What sinners could I be reaching for if you don't bring them? How could everyone's hearts be better prepared for the word without the assistance and the help of our music and worship ministry? Could our worship team do a good job with one person? Sure. But it was better because they all came together and they all practiced and they all spiritually prepared themselves and submitted themselves one to another In order to get up here and sing under the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost, which then in turn helped prepare all of our hearts so that I could get up and talk through the Holy Ghost. How many would come back to hear me preach if they were not greeted warmly at the door by our ushers and our greeters and felt loved by the church body? It's impossible for me to make everybody feel welcomed and loved. It's the church body. So how many of them would stick around if their kids had a horrible time in our Sunday school department and our youth department? They wouldn't come back to hear me preach. With my voice issues, which you're obviously hearing today, I apologize, I haven't been feeling well this week. My issues with my voice, how could you even hear me preach if Brother Soundman wasn't doing his job? How many lives can be changed in these altars if I didn't have anybody helping me pray for people? Do you see what I'm trying to get at? What kind of anointing would rest upon the service if nobody shows up for pre-service prayer? What kind of power can be unleashed in this room if the majority of people in the congregation weren't living holy and godly and separate from the world when they're away from this building? I can get up here and preach, but nothing's going to happen. You see what I'm saying? On and on and on we can go, but I think you get the picture. Yeah, I might be the one up here preaching, and I might be the spiritual authority in the church, but without everyone else in this room, we could never accomplish what God has called us to accomplish. I need you, and you need me, and you need the one on your right, and the one on your left, the one in back, and the one in front of you. When everybody is fulfilling the role that God has placed them in the body of Christ, and everybody is submitting themselves one to another, and all of us recognize the authority of God that is resting on one another, that's when the body of Christ will be able to move forward like it has never moved forward before. And that's when we'll be able to accomplish greater things for the kingdom of God. And that's why I'm saying what I said at the beginning, because I believe what we've seen in the past will pale in comparison to what we see in the future, because that was pre this series. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The book puts it like this, Romans chapter 12 and verse 4. I forgot to give you my title. I'm going to speak today as we're looking at all this, sustained by submission. We are sustained by submission. Watch. The book puts it like this, Romans chapter 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, many members, one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, watch, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, somebody say gifts, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So we're all different, but we also all have different gifts. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And that's just a short list. There's a ton of other gifts that can play out in the body of Christ. He said everybody has been placed in the body of Christ in your position, but everybody has been given a specific gift. We all have different gifts. We all have different offices. And it's only when we recognize the gifts and the offices of the individual parts of the body that we can appreciate the strength of the entire body. Does that make sense? I'll never be able to understand the strength of the body of Christ that is sitting in front of me right now until I first understand Sister Chris's gift, Sister Miranda's gift, Sister Hawks's gift, Brother Tim, Brother Newton, Brother William, Brother David. I can't get a grasp and a revelation on the power of the whole until I first understand and put the individuals in their specific order and position of authority. Am I making sense? This is what it's all about. It's so important that we get this. For when everyone desires to have everything in themselves, refusing to accept the supply of the other members, then this creates a poverty in them as well as a poverty in the body of Christ. For instance, we probably use this illustration before in these 3 weeks, but if the hand desires to do everything in itself and be independent from the rest of the body, then it'll only be able to receive that which it can receive with its own abilities. Just with its own abilities. So here's the question. How much do you think you can grab a hold of with your hand if you don't use your feet, your legs, your back, and your arms? Not much. If you're sitting down to Thanksgiving dinner and the hand, it's a silly illustration, but you get the point. Sitting down to Thanksgiving dinner and the hand wants to partake of everything for itself, independent of the rest of the body, then how does it reach for the mashed potatoes? How does it see what to reach for? If it does get something with its own ability, how does the hand chew? How does the hand swallow? How does the hand break down food into energy and distribute it back to itself? I realize this scenario couldn't be played out in the physical, but it is played out in the spiritual. And because of that, there are so many people who are living a life of lack and in a place of want. Simply because they're cutting themselves off from the provision and the sustenance that can only flow to them through the body of Christ. Here's what we need to remember. Here's what we need to remember. We are going against, if you don't get anything else, get this. We are going against the very avenue that God has set up for the receiving of strength and help and sustenance and encouragement when we do not allow the body to minister to us. Let me just help somebody right now. There are those who are so private, so distant from the body, never sharing what's going on in your life, never really allowing the body to understand your needs, your struggles, your issues. And I believe that is not the will of God at all. In fact, I believe it's a trick of the enemy. You may think, well, I just don't want to bother anybody. You may think, everybody else has problems as well, and so I just don't want to heap my problems on everybody else. And you may think, well, you know what? It's just not my personality to open up and share my heart and my fears and my struggles. Or there's some who say, well, I just don't have time. I just don't have time to connect with the body of Christ. I just don't have time to do all that. I got a job and work and this and hobbies and whatever and whatever. And I got to do this. I just don't have time to connect myself with the body of Christ. But ultimately, it's a trick of the enemy to try to keep you from the very place that you need to be in order to garner help and healing, because it only flows through a connection with the body. That's the only way it flows. I'm not saying you have to share everything with everybody. Okay? I'm not saying that. But God has set up the body of Christ to be the conduit in which your help is going to come. And when we distance ourselves and when we don't really plug into the body, we are cutting off the very source that God has set up to bless us. Oh, hallelujah. I'm just going to have to talk today. My voice is shot. That's why it concerns me when people get here right when church starts and they leave as soon as it's dismissed. And it's like, you know, there's a fire in here as quick as they're getting out. It concerns me. It concerns me when people never show up to church functions. They never build friendships. They don't know half the people's names. They don't have any real relationships in the body of Christ. That concerns me. Listen, I'm not saying you can't have friends outside of church. I want you to have friends outside of church because we're going to win our friends. But if the majority of your friends aren't in church, you're cutting yourself off from the very thing that God has ordained for you to receive strength from. For anyone outside of the body cannot help you the way those in the body can. Because everybody in the body has been given a gift that is for you. But you got to be in the body to get the gift. It's not God's will for us to look at a church. You know, I've heard people say this. Well, church is just, I just go there to hear the word. That's all I'm going to church for. I just go there to hear the word. And they say, well, I don't go to church to make friends. I don't go to church to build relationships. I don't go to church to connect with other people. I just go there to hear the word. I just go there to worship God. I don't care about anybody else, what anybody else is doing, what anybody, whatever. It's not about them at all. It's not about everybody else. It's just about me hearing the word and worshiping God. Well, I know our focus should be on the word and our focus should be upon worshiping God. But our worship should lead us to a greater understanding of how much we need one another. And how God has instituted the church to be the source from which all blessings will flow. For when we look at the church as just a place to just hear the word, that's it. We're in essence saying, I don't need the body. Right? I don't need anybody else. I'm just going to hear the word and sit there and get there right in time for church and leave right when it's over because nobody else is important. I'm just going to sit there and hear the word. We're saying, I don't need the body. But the book says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I don't need you. If we think we have no need of one another, then we're going completely against what the Word of God is trying to teach us. For I need you just as much as the eye needs the hand to pick something up. That's how much I need you. The Holy Ghost is speaking to this church in order for us to understand that we need one another so much more than what we think we do. And until we learn that lesson, we are going to live in a place of poverty and a place of lack and a place of want. We've got to understand that we are sustained by our submission one to another. For I only received the gift from the one in whom I'm submitted to. So everybody in this room has a gift. Everybody. But if I'm only submitted to Sister Vivian, and Brother Steve, and Brother Russell, then those three gifts are the only ones I'll ever get. And I will be impoverished spiritually because I won't have everybody else, the gift that God has given you, not for you, but for me. Does that make sense? You see, most people have the absolute wrong concept of what submission is all about. For many have the misconception that submission is something that suppresses us and something that hurts us in some way, something that demeans us. But look at what the book says. 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Kind of talking about the same thing, other verse, but different portion, different passage. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. Watch verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. It's given to every man. That word with all means everybody. It's given to every man individually to profit everyone collectively. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the one, that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severely as he will. He divides, he gives as he will. The Lord is speaking through Paul to the church at Corinth, and he's telling them that he has all kinds of gifts that he wants to pour out in the church. He has all kinds of really awesome things that he wants to give them. But the way that he set it up to bless us is to give them the gifts to individual parts of the body so that they in turn can use those gifts and those spiritual abilities to bless the entire body. That's not the way Pastor Anthony set it up. That's the way God set it up. He could have set it up however he wanted to set it up, but he chose to sustain us through the body. Those gifts aren't theirs. Those gifts that we've received from God, those aren't our gifts. It's God working through us in that specific gifting. We didn't do anything to deserve that gift. We're not like really talented or good or great or wonderful or super spiritual. And so God says, wow, you deserve this gift. No, it was his will. He just gave us the gift. I didn't do anything to warrant the gift. God simply chose us and chose to work through us in that particular gifting in order to benefit and bless the body. It wasn't even given to bless us. See, this takes the whole thing of you trying to puff yourself up out of the equation. Or me trying to puff look at my gift. Look at what I can do. I got the gift of this, or I got the gift of that. And God says, no. It wasn't even given for you. It wasn't even given for you. It was given for them. Given for the body. We're not to operate in our giftings so that people will look at us and talk about how great we are because we don't own it, deserve it, or whatever. He divided up the gifts to different people in order to bless the body. So here's what our responsibility is. Our responsibility is to simply allow God to flow through us to the body. That's the purpose. That's what God is calling us to do. Oh, hallelujah. So here's the deal. So here's the deal. I got a lot of issues in my life. Raise your hand if you got a lot of issues in your life. All right, don't leave me up here. So we all got kind of issues, and we all got struggles, and we all got issues, and we all got lack, and we all got stuff that we need help with, okay? So how are those things going to be fixed, and how are those things going to be resolved? They're going to be resolved by the person sitting in front of you, behind you, beside you. But I'll only be able to benefit from the blessings, from those who I'm submitted to. That's what it comes down to. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. And this is why God is trying to show us. Submission is not something that suppresses us. Submission is not something that hurts us. In fact, just the opposite is true. Submission is what puts me in a place where God can work through those in authority, because I put everybody in authority. And God can work through that, and submission puts me in a place where all of those in authority can then begin to give me the gifts, allow the gift that God gave them to flow through them to me, and all of a sudden, my supply is met. My need is met. Everything that I need, I have. Oh, hallelujah. Brother George, a little more monitor, please. I have everything I need because of you. See, when you truly get this concept, you want to put everybody in authority. God knows what he's doing. I said, God knows what he's doing with this principle. When you truly understand that it will be those in authority that allow God to flow through them to give me the gift that he gave them. When you understand this, you say, who else can I put in authority? I want some gifts. I got this. I got this struggle. I got this issue. Is there anybody else in my life that I haven't put in authority? And if there are, get them up there. I submit to you. Because I need your gift. Do you see the complete mind shift? The complete difference between what this concept of submission that most people have and what God thinks about it? Most people, you know, they're fighting. I'll submit. Oh, I'm going to submit. I'm not going to submit to nobody. I'm my own man. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. You go ahead and do that and get your one gift. You go ahead and keep your one little measly gift. You know what? I need a ton of gifts. I need a ton of help. I got all kinds of issues. So I'm going to submit myself to everybody that's in the body of Christ. I don't care who they are. If they've been in church 3 weeks and they've been baptized in Jesus' name and they've been filled with the Holy, I submit myself to you, because you might not even know it yet. You might not even know what your gift is yet, but you're in the body, baby. And if you're in the body, God gave you a gift. And if he gave you a gift, I want that gift. So I submit myself to you. I submit myself to you. I submit myself to you. You see, God's trying to get us revelation in our mind so that we won't fight so hard against submitting one to another. When you understand the way God sees it, it's just like, I have no problem whatsoever submitting to you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The riches of the body, the riches of the body, are only witnessed with an attitude of submission. For the wealth of each member is the wealth of all members. And the more we're submitted to all members, the more wealth we'll be able to possess. I'm talking about money. I'm talking about the gifts. So to rebel against the body, to allow, and this is what God's been helping us with. And this is why we've been on our face the last 3 weeks, bawling and squalling and repenting and crying. Because to rebel against the body, to allow pride and negative emotions to bring conflict between you and an individual in the body, only causes you as an individual to live in a place of spiritual, emotional, and I believe even physical poverty. And that's why, listen, you want to know why it's been so hard the last 3 weeks to do what God's been telling us to do? You want to know why it's been so difficult and it's been such a struggle? Because don't you know hell fights against us submitting? Why? His goal is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he also knows, but this is awesome. He also knows, okay, I'm going to try to steal from him. I'm going to try to kill him. I'm going to try to destroy him. But I can't do that if every one of their needs are being supplied from the body? I can't do that if they're getting, if they're sustained by the body and blessed by the body and healed by the body and strengthened by the body. I can't do what I want to do if they're submitted. And so when we hear stuff on submission, what rises up? Flesh. Devil start. Who's he to stand up there and tell you you need to submit and blah, 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 blah. You're older than he is and whatever. Come, am I right about it? And then when we come to this altar, and I just got a call today. A pastor friend of mine, we've been discussing a lot of this stuff about submission, and he said, man, this is messing me up. He said he's driving today. He's an evangelist, and he was driving, and he calls me. He said, I'm just driving down the road, just you know whatever, just think, praying, getting ready for the service. And God spoke to him and said, you need to call so and so and apologize to him because you had a prideful spirit and a prideful attitude. So he texts the guy. He's like, I don't know what God thinks about all that. But he texts the guy and he said, hey, man, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. The guy didn't text back, whatever. And so my buddy's like, I'm feeling pretty good about it. And God said, I didn't tell you to tell him you're praying for him. I told you to tell him you were sorry and you need to ask his forgiveness. And so he was like, Anthony, he goes, it was so hard. It was so hard. What is that? It's the devil. It's the enemy. Because he knows the more people you submit to, the more avenues of blessing you open up in your life. And when you only submit to two people, you got two avenues of blessing. You're going to be in a state of poverty and lack, and devil's going to come in and wipe you out. But if you can be submitted to the whole body and you got every avenue that is available to you open to the blessings of God, hell knows he can't touch you. A lifestyle of submission to the body of Christ is so much easier than trying to live out your Christianity on your own. I'm telling you. For if you segregate yourself from the body of Christ, then you will be forced to bear your burdens on your own, which will be extremely tiring and eventually impossible. For you were never created to carry your own burdens. The book tells us, gives us this command, the body of Christ, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens. Therefore, you were not created to bear your own burdens. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how talented you are. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. You can fast 8 days a week. You can pray 20 hours a day. But if you're trying to bear your own burdens, you will fall because God ordained the body to bear one another's burdens. And there can be no one individual that can bear all their burdens alone because that's the way God set it up. So we see that when we're submitted entirely to the body, then the weight and the pressure of our lives will be distributed evenly over the entire body, making them much easier to handle and to deal with. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Therefore, you'll find much more rest when you're submitted completely to the body. You'll have a lot more rest. You'll find more peace. You'll find more happiness. You'll find more contentment when you are completely submitted to the body. When we are submitted, we're set free. Oh, hallelujah. But when we are unsubmitted, we remain bound. To submit is natural and it is freeing. But to disobey this concept of submission is difficult and it's binding. Listen, I don't have time to get in the whole story. I'm coming to close here. I don't have time to get in the whole story. It's a big story. It's an awesome story. But we find it told in the book of Genesis where a young man by the name of Joseph had this dream. And in this dream, he sees his whole family bowing down to him. In essence, what he saw all of them submitting themselves to him. Now, we don't know why. He didn't know why at the time. He didn't know why. He didn't know what the circumstances were surrounding the whole thing. All he knew is that he had this dream where he saw his family members bowing down before him, submitting themselves to him. And he went and told his brothers about his dream. And his brothers got so angry at him. For in their mind, they could never, ever see that they would ever get to a place where they would bow down to him and submit to him. He tells them about it. And in their mind, they immediately go to anger because they're like, I will never submit to you. There will never be a reason in this world. There will never be a reason in our life that we would ever submit to you. And so they were so angry. They were so mad. In fact, they were so mad at him that they sold him into slavery. That's how mad they were. They lied, all kinds of stuff. Big long story, but they sold him into slavery. The slave traders took Joseph to Egypt. Once they got to Egypt, an officer of the Pharaoh, the Pharaoh was the main guy in all of Egypt, like the president or the king or whatever, the Pharaoh, one of the officers in Pharaoh's court bought Joseph, put him to work for him as a servant. To make a long story short, the hand of God was upon Joseph's life to the point where he just kept moving up the ranks in the governmental system. God just kept blessing him and blessing him and blessing him until finally he actually rose to the place that he was second in command over all of Egypt. But during this time, he's second in command. During this time, stay with me. The Lord reveals to him that there were going to be 7 years of plenty, and then there were going to be 7 years of famine, and that he needed to store up food during the 7 years of plenty so that they would have enough food in the 7 years of famine. So the 7 years of famine come to Egypt, and the only place to buy food was Egypt. So all the countries all around, everybody would come to Egypt to buy food. So Joseph's brothers leave their house and they come to Egypt, stay with me, to buy food. So who do they have to talk to buy food? Joseph. Joseph was in the position that he was in. But it had been years, historians say it was 20 years since they had sold him into slavery. So they didn't really know it was him. They didn't really know what he looked like, all this kind of stuff. So they come before him and not recognizing him, just understanding his authority in their life, they bow down before him. And they submit to him so that they can receive sustenance from him in order to survive, which he gives them and they all live. But here's what I want you to see. There's so much to this. I could have preached a whole message on it. But listen, here's what I want you to see. They were unwilling to submit to him as a brother. But they were willing to submit to him when he was the second most powerful person in Egypt, in order to get what they needed to survive. Here's what God is trying to show us. Those great blessings and those necessary provisions that you just absolutely have to have in order to survive are going to be sent by God through the hands of your brother. So don't be so quick to discount your brother and think less of them than what God does. Joseph, you're nothing but a slave. We can sell you for pennies. You're nothing. You're a nobody. We need to be submitted to our brothers and to our sisters in the Lord, for it will be at their hands that our needs are met and our inadequacies are strengthened. Now, it's not them strengthening us. It's God through. You understand that? It will be from the hands of those in the body of Christ that God will work through in order to provide our every need and sustain us through our difficult times. So let's not separate ourselves one from another. For you never know the gift that they have that you're going to need. And the very gift that they have might just be the very gift that you need 3 months down the road, 6 months down the road. Let's be willing to be submitted one to another, for it's just possible that we might be facing some sort of famine in our own lives in the next year or two or three or whatever the case may be, and we're going to need that individual in order to provide for us. That sister we're having issues with, difficulties with, might just be the one God is going to use to meet that need. So let's go ahead and get to that sister and say, I'm sorry, and we're going to hug, and we're going to pray, and I'm going to submit myself to you, and I'm going to submit myself to you, because I might just be going through a famine in a year, and you might just have the very gift that I need to make it through. Let's stand. We've all been given gifts.